Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Universal Narratives podcast. Last time we spoke to a middle school public school teacher in New York City to learn about her experience with the pandemic. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with another school teacher in New York City to gain a better understanding of the lessons that we all learned from the experience working during the pandemic, and also what are the lessons that we can take with us as we move on to in-person teaching in the fall. So welcome to our podcast, James.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. I would like to start by asking you to introduce yourself. Maybe tell us a little bit about your experience, which group you're working with, which level, your certification, and then we can take it from there.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I teach in Jamaica, Queens. And I teach young adults. So the students are age 17 to 21. I personally would say that I work with, I think, the nicest students in the entire world. They are just, so purely kind and, really have a desire to learn. They come from all over the world. We have a big Bangladesh population. We have a huge Central American population, from countries like Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, and as well as really a lot of other countries. Like in New York City, these populations, we have students from Yemen, students from Africa, Cameroon, Guinea, from really all over, but those are just ones that come to mind. I can't name them all. Also, India, Pakistan, lots of other countries. Basically, my school is a high school equivalency program. The goal of the program was to be able to get students their diplomas and to guide them to have a future, whether that's university or trade school or whatever. My school is unique in that it's all newcomers. So it's all students that are new to the country, 17 to 21. And I personally work with the lower levels at the moment, even though I've fluctuated. We have like five levels of ESL technically in the program. I've started in level three, but during the pandemic, when it first started, I was teaching level two, and then this year I've been teaching level one. So I work with like the really the newer levels, which I love.
It's amazing. It's amazing when you are teaching in New York City, like the kind of exposure that you get working with so many students from so many different cultures. I think
Yeah.
it's just a learning experience for the teacher, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's so educational. Like I knew nothing
Yeah.
about countries like Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, like, and now I'm learning so much about these cultures. There's so many cultures within like that part of the world. And now like I'm even like learning a little bit of their languages, which has kind of informed like my teaching, and like the grammar of their languages is quite different. So it
Yeah.
helps like with basic beginner levels.
Totally agree. It helps you also understand why like students make certain mistakes when they're speaking or in writing, right? Because you understand their first language is better.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Great. So you were teaching during the pandemic when it started in March of 2020. How has your teaching been impacted by the pandemic?
There's been pros and cons to everything. I would say that I actually had a sort of positive, overall positive experience. You know, a lot of teachers, you hear a lot of negative during the pandemic, but I think that there was a lot of also good things that happened when I was teaching. So I would say that some of the positives that just come to mind is that just learning all these new technology tools and embracing that. I feel like technology can aid so much of teaching. So definitely using different we've been learning as we're going along and just you we've had to learn all these platforms. Like we already were using Google Classroom in my master's program. I studied TESOL at Hunter College, but we were already using stuff like that. So I think it's harder for the teachers that have been teaching for so long and they're just used to teaching in the classroom. Mm-hmm. But there's so many cool things like, you know, Nearpod and Flipgrid and all these different tools that can be used. And I don't know, I'm always thinking about like language input and how like learners can learn on their own. So it's been kind of cool to explore, to have the freedom, because normally it's quite restricted what you can do in the classroom. So to be able to use your creativity and just being able to individually communicate and get to know all of my students and how and just experimenting with different things that we can do. Like it's been a crazy experience in terms of technology. But I guess the other things that I would have to touch on as far as teaching being impacted, I guess we all feel the impact, obviously, that we don't have to leave our homes anymore to meet. So like when summer of 2019, we couldn't even like coordinate. But like now it's so like common for everyone to just be like, all right, boom, let's go on Zoom or let's go on Google Meet. And we're just meeting with people like all over the world. So I think like that has impacted teaching everywhere. And what that will be in the future, I'm not quite certain. Other impacts are like environmental impacts. Like I think like just like not using so much paper. Like personally, like in my school, I don't know. Tell me if I'm like going on too much about this.
No, you're great. You're doing great. Thank you so much for this. This is very, very insightful.
Okay, cool. I'm kind of an introverted person. I don't like really.
You're great. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just you can stop me or focus on what you want to. But I think like, you know, in our school, it was kind of very much set up like old school way. And it was like, you know, come into the building, put your phone, your devices away. And, you know, there wasn't computers for the kids. And I just think that, you know, very simple things like being able to use like Translate whenever you want to, you know, and these things like, especially when you don't have, like our students are so well behaved, we don't necessarily have those things that would prevent, you know, distraction, that would cause distractions in the classroom. So I think now that we're just using these devices, I think it's really helping the kids a lot. And, you know, instead of like I was saying environmentally, like before we were just printing out like loads and loads of paper. Every day. So I think it's better that we don't have to do that. So I would say also the impact, one of the greatest things for our kids is that our population of kids are like busy, they're working, sometimes they're supporting their families, a lot of times they're supporting themselves. So just being able to have a flexibility in that you can have your classes, whether they're through Google Meet or in person, but you could also have that same work left for them and they could do that later, I think is so beneficial for our kids because sometimes they just can't come every day because they're working so much. So if we can somehow help them still, you know, achieve their goals or just, you know, be able to study independently using these technology tools, I think that's so beneficial for them.
I totally agree with everything that you said so far. I really love your comment about, you know, environmental benefits, because we don't usually discuss that. And I totally agree. I was always not very happy with how much paper we print in schools and how much paper we use every day. And as you said, this experience taught us that we don't really have to rely that much on paper. We can do paperless quite easily.
Yeah.
I really also like what you said about the learners becoming more autonomous and finding all these different tools and trying to like teach themselves and find alternative ways of gaining knowledge and gaining information. Where the teacher is not the only person that provides that kind of knowledge anymore, but there are so many alternative ways and the teacher is more like a facilitator.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's great. So many positive lessons that we discussed so far. So this is about the positive side. So what about some of the negative sides? And you can go back to 2020 when the pandemic first started, like, you know, the first response. How difficult was it to move from in-person to virtual? What kind of challenges you or maybe your students or anybody in your building faced at that time? And how was the response to that? How did you guys react to that?
Yeah, I think that at that time it was, I kind of just, I had, like I said, 28 kids, and I just did everything that I could in that moment to help out all of my kids. And I was working, you know, tirelessly. So I think that while it was positive that I was able to reach out and more, I more or less was able to reach the same amount of students that I would when kids are just coming day to day in school. But there were certain kids that, even though I was calling every day or reaching out to their guardians or their parents, certain kids really need to come into the building every day. And I don't think that some didn't understand that it was really, you know, we were still in school, that we were still learning. So I had maybe two students out of the 28 that I feel like they have this rigid attendance policy, and there wasn't an adjustment because of the pandemic. And I really feel like they should have adjusted that because it wasn't normal times, but they have it if you miss a certain amount of days, you're not allowed to stay in the program. So two students that I had really bad attendance. I was calling them every day, talking to their guardians, doing everything I can to help them, but for whatever reason, they just didn't, last year, they didn't do their assignments or have do anything to really get attendance, so that when we came back in September, they weren't able to continue with the program. Mm. So that was a real negative. And if we were going in person, I'm sure that wouldn't have been the case for those two students.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the challenges that a lot of teachers discussed, and it's mainly also because students come from so many different cultures and different backgrounds, and sometimes it's difficult to explain, you know, the cultural differences to newcomer students and some of these expectations, especially when there is a language barrier, either on the part of the students or their parents and guardians. So it's sometimes it's just a communication problem, but I feel like as soon as everybody kind of reaches a common understanding of what the expectations are, everything goes more smoothly.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that was the case for the majority of my class. It was just those two in particular. And, you know, I even reached out. His dad was stuck in Bangladesh. Mm-hmm. One student, you know, couldn't. And normally if his dad was there, it would have been a different case. So it was just very different times. I don't mean to focus only on those two. There was quite a lot of learning and learning of new skills and with my other students, but that was just an example of
okay. So were there any you shared some insights or some positive aspects of the pandemic when you first started? Were there any particular success stories about teaching and learning during the pandemic, maybe specific examples of students who actually performed better, or technologies that were utilized in a more effective manner, or school admin that became more receptive and open to new ideas? Just any of these success stories that you experienced in the past 2 years or a year and a half, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of success stories. I had, you know, I, like I said, like throughout this time, because there was distance, I really had to reach out individually to all of my students. So I found that I was better able to get to know them more than say if we were having like a classroom lesson. Mm-hmm. So for example, I should say like our school context is a lot different. It's an alternative program and kids coming from all different circumstances. So I found that really getting to know each one brought a lot of success. So for example, I had one student from Uzbekistan, a super sweet girl, was not able to get her diploma. I think she went to school like 3 years, but she wasn't able to pass the English regents. So, the last test. So she did all the requirements and she only needed that one test. So because I developed a relationship with her, I was able to reach out to another guidance counselor. And even though she was in level two, she was able to go back to her original school and ultimately get a waiver requirement for that. So she was able to get her diploma. Otherwise, if I didn't necessarily have that time with her, I may not have known her circumstances, and she could have easily like been in level two, level three, level four for a long time. And our kids have limited time. It's like a real problem. So in general, we need to advocate for our students to have more time in our program. That was one success story. That girl had got her diploma. I had students come in from our evening program that came into my ESL 1 class this year, and they have very limited hours and in the evening program. So when they came into this year with me, they were able to, learn a lot of, school, 21st century schools, like just submitting work online, and got into the program, and they were able to promote and move up to the next level, and they're actually achieving quite well. So it was good to kind of like set them on course for their academic success. Mm-hmm. A lot of students did really well with like the independent learning. Like I had a couple of students, I left work for my students over the summer for them to like do all like independent work in different subjects, different like reading. And then I had like, not all of them, but like a couple of students that like worked like throughout the summer, like where literally they were just working independently on their own. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. Just in general, the students that I had just did so well. Like in the beginning, no one knew how to do anything. And then like we got into the routine, and like, you know, like 15 to 20 students would hand in each of the assignments. We'd have like two a day. So it was in general, most of the students did so well. And I just found that it was really great to be able to give that extra personalized help. Mm-hmm. To all the different kids. I would be getting calls nightly from, I had from Mexico, student from Guatemala calling me, and I was just able to give that individualized help that I wouldn't normally do. And as I've been like learning how to use these platforms, it's been really cool to be able to really differentiate instruction based on the needs of the student.
That's great. I think, like, you know, based on what you said, there is a lot of students who actually find that they're able to focus and work more productively when they're working independently and on their own. Yeah. And I think this is one of the things that we all learned from the pandemic, that some students just like to work individually. And we always have this pressure in the classroom that we want students to work collaboratively. And there is nothing wrong, you know, about that. It's just that you also need to recognize that some students just like to work on their own. And it's like personal differences. I like to work on my own. This is how I am. And, you know, I have nothing against group work, but I totally understand when people just like to take their time and you know, work individually. So, and the time and the flexibility that you brought up as well are really great, because especially with the population of the students that you have, many of them are working, many of them are adults already. Many of them appreciate this time and flexibility to be able to complete their work on their own and not have so much pressure of like deadlines and schedules.
Yeah, it's that's been so great for them. I think our school is quite unique. It's, you know, every learning context is different. It's definitely not like a mainstream K through 12 situation.
Yeah. Okay. So thinking about the pandemic experience, how do you feel like it has affected your professional identity as a teacher? Were there any other roles or responsibilities that you had to take on during the pandemic as a teacher that you had not previously taken on? Like, for example, maybe a leadership position at school, or facilitating certain maybe operations at school, or advocating for the needs of your students in a certain manner. Any other roles or professional responsibilities that you took on during the pandemic?
That's a good question. Honestly, I would not say like I took on a formal position in this time, but I would say that like I think my role as a teacher has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. At least I've grown during this time. I think in particular, I've learned a lot about my student population and their personal stories. And I think that's one of the biggest things. Like, I really know them better and their circumstances. Mm-hmm. I've said this, like, I repeated this a couple times, but like, because of the randomness of the pandemic and the way everything happened, we had to do things totally different. And like I said, like just spending time with my students, I'm kind of a different teacher. I don't know. Like, I think the most, like my students are like calling me all the time and texting me all the time, and all my past students too. Like, so I wouldn't normally recommend that. I just feel like these students in particular are such awesome people and they deserve the help. So, but I've, you know, like I didn't really know like before really what my students were coming from. You know, we just are there in the building and you just think, oh, okay, you're from another country. But like I learned about their lives a little bit and like why they came and their journey. So I think we always talk about like in, you know, socio-emotional learning, mm-hmm. but I'm just learning more as a teacher, just that how important it is to really know your students.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and just, I think, I don't know, and just really how important giving a good energy is to them.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's the first step for advocating for your students, knowing them better and knowing where they're coming from and what experiences they went through. And especially like, you know, in light of the political climate that we had in the country, where a lot of our students felt marginalized or alienated or not welcome in the country at some point. It's very important for teachers to have this understanding of the experiences that our students come with and the backgrounds they come from. And it just helps us become overall better teachers, advocating for them, advocating for their needs, understanding how we can support them the most in the classroom, and, you know, convey that message to our school admin as well. Are you at any point interested in seeking a leadership role in your school?
Definitely. I suppose I will definitely go with the flow. I personally feel like if I, you know, stay at this school, that there is so much advocating that needs to be done for these kids. So I do hope that I'd be able to positively impact them. They're, you know, these kids, and you talked about a little bit like the political climate. I don't know if I could personally do this, but I wish that a message would just be spread in this country of just how beautiful these people are. And that I think it's so important, particularly for the United States, that's basically a country that has only been made up of people coming from other countries. And I think it's so important that we celebrate diversity, and that we respect these people and welcome these people, you know?
Yeah. Totally agree. They're newcomers.
Like, that's a given. Yeah. But I'm talking about like that this is the accepted ideal within this country.
Yeah.
You know, we live in New York, it's like it's so diverse, and that's
Yes. And you know, they're newcomers, but they're now part of the fabric of this country, which is makes it very unique. Diversity makes New York and the US in general a very unique country compared to other countries around the world. The fact that you mix with people from so many backgrounds and cultures and languages, and it just reinforces the idea of oneness and coming together as one community,
which
is something that we have to also advocate for in our schools. So my last question to you, James, would be, any lessons that you would take with you from this experience for next fall when we go back to in-person teaching? Anything that you learned during the pandemic that you would like to take with you as you go back to in-person?
Yeah, certainly. There's so much. I for one, obviously, I think we all realized how important human interaction is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just how much we need normalcy and just seeing people and socialization, like how integral that is to us as people. So I think as we're going back into the building, you know, I hope that I can have a community of learners and encourage interaction, especially working with level one students, and build lessons that build a classroom that is that it has a positive learning environment, and students are able to interact. But I hope at the same time to continue to use this technology that has come, and keep exploring ways that I could bridge the gap for my students. Or not I can personally, but like, you know, give them ways that they can benefit, because I really just feel like technology can be used in so many ways for language learning.
Mm.
And, there's so many tools that I would still like to use as we go back, so I can continue differentiating to my different kids, and they can continue to, I hope that technology will still be embraced when we go back into the building as it was during the pandemic, but combine that with the human element of being together. And just so, like you said, students can still learn independently and have the flexibility of, doing their studies, at their convenience whenever they want to, and extend it beyond the classroom, and just help out these kids, how much we can. I hope like we can come together and, because these kids need a lot of help, and they're really great kids, so they deserve it.
That's great. I really like how you brought like everything together for the conclusion. So it's like we need the human element, but we also need the technology, which is great. And I also, like, you know, from what you said, I also gather that you really find it very important for us as teachers to try to delve deeper and learn more about our students so that we would be able to accommodate them better in our classrooms and create the best learning and teaching solutions that would work for everyone and also allow flexibility and independent learning.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. Is there anything else you would like to add before we conclude?
Just want to say that how thankful I am to you and for helping me. And I think that's another thing that I'm like realizing, like how much of our existence is like our best quality is just helping people. So you're someone that definitely helped me, and thank you. And it's great to hear from you. It's nice to see you and talk a little bit, and just hope all is well.
Thank you so much, James, for your time. I really appreciate your time as well. And as I mentioned earlier, like, we're all here to help each other. And only through mentoring and helping each other do we become better teachers and better practitioners in general in education. This is how I started, and this is how I would like to see teachers growing and, you know, becoming their better selves. So thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Definitely. Definitely. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.